And this morning, I hope we can spend time, and it's getting into the afternoon, spend time looking at some of the scriptures to show you that he had to appear to them many times before they eventually believed him. These disciples wouldn't have the audacity to concoct a lie about resurrection. They just couldn't believe it. Them a long time to believe it. And in fact, you know, they were still fearful. After Jesus ascended into heaven, they were still fearful. They were hiding in the upper room till the Holy Spirit came and impacted them. And then they could stand in public and say, he arose, and give their life for it. Till then, it didn't make a difference. Just like us. And I hope that comes through this morning. And I would recommend to you a study of all four Gospels. Chapter 28 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 20 and 21 of John's Gospel, and chapter 24 of Luke's Gospel. Have I covered all four Gospels? Look at the record and put it all together and make a summary and sequence of events of the resurrection starting early that morning. So my first point that I want to bring before you this morning is the disciples' great unbelief on resurrection morning. The disciples' great unbelief. And may I draw your attention to the fact that they were just like us. Belief is a very, very difficult ingredient in the Christian life, in human life. Disciples' great unbelief in the midst of mighty acts, supernatural events, recorded for us in the scriptures. There was so much that happened, and in spite of it, they could not believe. And let me say this, it is not that they refused to believe. Could not believe. It was an extremely slow process. What were these great events? The first event was the stone was rolled away. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verses 1 to 4, it says, now when the Sabbath was passed, Magdalene, and remember the Sabbath for the Jews finishes in the evening at sunset. So Saturday at sunset, the Sabbath was over. So early in the morning, and most probably Mary Magdalene went earlier than the others. Or maybe all the women went together with Mary Magdalene. And then the women went away and Mary continued. She had told the disciples, she came back, she continued standing there. And a wonderful thing happened for her because she was seeking. Chapter 16 of Mark's Gospel 1 to 4 says, Mary Magdalene, name number 1. What a privilege. You have to ask the question, why was she first? The mother of James and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had arisen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And their discussion is really that they knew for sure that they didn't have the capacity and the strength to roll that stone away. It was huge. How did the stone get rolled away? This was one of the mighty acts I'm talking about that happened. And in spite of this act, the disciples couldn't believe it. Leads me to the second mighty act. There was a great earthquake. The first earthquake that happened is recorded for us in Matthew 20, I think it's 26 or 27, verse 2. I may have got that reference wrong. When Jesus died and the temple veil was torn in two, right? There was an earthquake. It was an earth-shaking event. And the world wouldn't believe that something supernatural had happened. The only one who believed on that day that this person who died is the Son of God is the Roman centurion. The rest of the world, something scary. Then we go back. You know, we get scared. Then we go back to our own life. Fear is not sufficient for faith. But the second mighty event was a great earthquake. Matthew chapter 28, 2 to 4 records for us. And behold, there was a great earthquake. And maybe it was localized. This earthquake was when an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. And this is very interesting. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. The only people present when that angel of the Lord came down were the soldiers, right? And they were there to oppose the resurrection. They were there not to believe or to close the door of belief. And so for them, the visit of the angel of the Lord was with a mighty earthquake. It got them so scared. The record is, his countenance was like lightning. I'm still at Matthew chapter 28 verse 3. And his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook with fear. And these are macho men. Okay. They've seen battle. You have to go to England to see how rough those ancient battles were. What Chandu can tell you about them, right? They were not sitting on computers and pressing buttons, right? To shoot these missiles at enemies that you can't see from distances that are very safe. They came hand to hand. And they hit each other with maces and spears and whatever. In England, they even threw stones at each other. Real junglies. Catapults and everything else. But this bunch of guards shook for fear of him. See the demonstration of the power of God to unbelievers. If you are not chosen of God, you don't get much good from God. They shook and became like dead men. They were in a faint. They were so shook up. They were like dead. And they didn't know anything that happened. They just saw this terrible creature. They couldn't make out what this creature was. They didn't know it was an angel of the Lord. He just put the fear in. Heaven and hell, I think, combined in these Roman guard. And they fainted. Have you fainted ever? Totally unconscious. And he rolled the stone away. Not only was their mighty acts like the stone being rolled away with an earthquake combined, flashes of lightning. Amazing scene. Only the soldiers saw that and fainted. They didn't see the rest of it. Then they ran when they woke up. Because when the women came, the soldiers were not there, right? Jesus also had prophesied. That's another thing. That didn't put faith in the disciples. In Mark chapter 16, verses 5 to 8, it says, "And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white, long white robe sitting on the right side." See, the angel of the Lord must be the same angel, or maybe the same angel. To the soldiers, he was just radiating the glory of heaven and frightened them to a faint. To the women, he appeared tender. And they were alarmed, but not frightened to run away. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed, you seek." And I hope you underline that word. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. You like that? Peter is picked specially, as is Mary Magdalene. And Peter, that is Jesus, is going before you into Galilee. That was the main place where Jesus appeared in his resurrection by. And the many times he appeared, Galilee was the main place. And there he commissioned his disciples, as we shall see. "There you will see him as he said to you." He had said this again and again. He had prophesied this. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they were trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. They were not afraid just because the angel was in this long white robe. They didn't think Jesus would rise again. And now they've been told, "Look here. Look the place where he lay. Look, the grave is empty. See the evidence. Remember what he said. Tell the disciples what he said." It just frightened them. They were so unprepared to see Jesus alive again. It frightened them. They really had no excuse for their unbelief, except one. But let me show you again. Just like Mark, which we just read, Luke says too, in a post-resurrection passage, that they had been told. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 24, verse 3-8. "And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, these angels said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead?'" Look, you're pretty dumb. He's alive. You don't go to the tomb to meet a live person, right? Even on All Souls Day, I mean, for those of you who know All Souls Day, we go to the grave and all your papas and mamas come out. You might run away, right? Because you don't expect this to happen. He is not here. He is risen. Remember, notice these words. "Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And notice verse 8 of Luke's gospel says, "Then they remembered his words." But, yeah, he had said that. Yeah, that's right. He had said he's risen. And they went home. Isn't that amazing unbelief? one. I'll come to that. Look at John chapter 20 verses 1 and 2. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple who was John, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Mark, in chapter 16, verses 9 and onwards, says it this way. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, that Sunday, and by the way, that's why Christians don't worship on the Sabbath. And I hope you all know the Sabbath is Saturday. Sabbath keepers. And if people keep telling you, you know, worship on a Saturday because that's the Sabbath, Jesus rose on the first day of the week, which is universally known as Sunday. And from the book of Acts, the early church records for us that they started worshiping on the first day of the week, not on the Sabbath day, and broke bread together on the first day. That's why Christians worship on Sunday. Alright, that's not the point here. The point in Mark 16, which I want you to notice, is when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. What a record. Who's this Mary Magdalene? Why did he appear to her first? I think the next phrase tells us, out of whom he had cast out seven devils. She had been so devilish and therefore so greatly redeemed. You know the story? It says, because she was forgiven much. She loved much. She came to the tomb. She thought they've stolen the body. She went and told Peter, because Peter is the leader. And she told John, because John, you were so much in love with him. Do something about it. But the men were, like many men, weak. Maybe they didn't feel the impact of their sin as much as Mary Magdalene felt. She who was forgiven much, she loved much, she not only poured the alabaster ointment in preparation for the burial recorded for us in the gospel accounts, but she went back to the grave. There was no logic in it. There was just love. She loved much. So she had the privilege of meeting the risen Savior first. And I tell you, love, true love, is always rewarded. Mary Magdalene shows us how to love. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, what does the record say? They did not believe. They had no excuse for not believing, except one. There's a verse in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 12, which says, but Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed. You know how? Marveling to himself. He was thinking, what could have happened? I don't know what he was thinking. I thought for many days, what was this guy marveling about? In John chapter 12, 20, verses 3 onwards. Peter therefore went, the same record. And by the way, Luke 24, 12 may not be in the original manuscripts. And good Bibles will have a reference there. So we don't know whether it's original text or not, but look at John 20, verse 3 onwards. Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. They both ran together, and the other disciple, that's John, outran Peter, and came to the tomb first, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. If robbers had robbed this body, they would not have been able to extricate the body and leave the cloth lying there so intact. The body could not have slipped out of that. Then the other disciple, that's John, who came to the tomb first, Peter went in also, and he saw, that's John, sorry, and he saw and believed. Now I wonder what he believed. Because the next verse says, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And what did they do? Verse 10 says, then the disciples went away again. Where? Believed something. Peter marveled, and they went home. Come next week for the full story, but I'll tell you this, they had no excuse not to believe but one in. And the clue is there. In verse 9, for as yet they did not know the scriptures. You cannot believe except through the scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you know something? Don't talk about having faith and not having faith. In terms of you have more faith, I have less faith, you know, you can pray and God hears you. That's a whole lot of human philosophy. Doesn't stand the scrutiny of the Word of God. I've got so much to say to you, and I'm not going to race you through it. Faith comes through the scriptures. And you know when Jesus appears to them, he appears to them a multitude of times, and constantly the record in the scripture says, and he opened to them the scriptures, and he reminded them what he had taught them before. Faith comes through the word of God, and faith comes as a gift from God. Ephesians chapter 2, look at it, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Where did the faith come from? The Bible says, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Until God gave them faith to believe, they had only one excuse for not believing. Faith had not been generated by the living God in their lives. And I wonder about us. And some of us have been Christians for a long time. Has the resurrection made a difference in our lives? Has the reality of resurrection caught us in its grip so much? Because we have read the word of God, and God has given us the gift to believe in a life-changing way. If it hasn't, you will know. also go back to your own homes. Like Peter and John, marveling at certain things, but living life as usual. Next week for more of it. Our Father, we thank you that there is so much reality. This is the only reality, really. Dear Father, that Jesus is alive. And that proves for you and us that our sins are dealt with sufficiently and we can be free. And so, Father, may we not be like Peter and John and the other disciples who just go home and from time to time despair. Worry. Live as if we are pagans. There's no difference between us and non-Christians. Word, Lord, to our hearts and generate faith in us that is life-changing faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship and blessing of God's Holy Spirit be with us.